Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, August 20th, 2025, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have graced us out with one more day of freedom in Client Nation, USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We are now in the paragraph 2 Corinthians 8, verses 7 through 15. Now we switch from the Macedonian believers, who were the great example of grace giving, to the Corinthian believers, who are just starting to get the hang of it. They started all right. The main thing is they responded to the Apostle Paul's tough virtue love teaching in 1 Corinthians, where he had to just bang them upside of the head again and again and again and again. They were setting the world record on reversionism. They were dying the sin unto death left and right. And Paul didn't want to see them die the sin unto death left and right. So he had to be real tough in 1 Corinthians. But they got it. They got it. They knew Paul was right. They knew they were wrong. They rebounded, got back into fellowship with God. They changed their mental attitude from negative volition to positive volition. They changed their mental attitude from arrogance to humility. And now they're beginning to get going. Spiritually, they're getting going. They got a long ways to go to getting started. So now we get to the paragraph of the Corinthian believers. They're starting to get the hang of this grace giving, but they haven't got it yet. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 7 to 15. Verse 7 says in corrected translation, "Now then, just as you are superabounding in every respect or way." That is, and he enumerates five spiritual areas where they are superabounding. But I haven't exegeted the last part of the verse, but I'm just going to leave all the five spiritual things they're abounding in. I'm going to leave that out for a moment. And just give you the rest of the verse so you can see what he's saying. Now then, just as you are superabounding in every respect or way in these five spiritual things, see that you superabound in this grace also. What grace is that? Grace giving. So that's where he's going with this verse in verse 7. Just as you're superabounding in every respect or way, these five spiritual areas, see that you superabound in this grace also, grace giving. Now, we are in the process of studying these five spiritual things that they are superabounding in. They are, first of all, superabounding in, number one is pistis, faith. Pistis is the word for faith. And this includes, now they are becoming consistent and faithful in faith in the teaching of the Word of God. It also includes consistent and faithful application of the Word of God to their life, skillfully and accurately. It also includes living the faith rest life. They are starting to live the faith rest life with stage one, where faith reaches out and claims the promise of the Word of God. And there are over 7,000 promises in God's Word. And then that gets your head above water. Now you can think. And God wants you to think and go on to stage two of the faith rest life, where faith reaches out and claims a doctrinal rationale. It could be the essence of God rationale, the plan of God rationale, the a fortiori rationale. And then stage three, faith comes to a doctrinal conclusion that if God is for you, who can be against you? So the first thing they are superabounding in is the great Christian virtue of faith. Number two, they are superabounding in logos. And logos is the Greek word for word. And this puts the spotlight on the Word of God, the God-breathed scriptures. The Bible is the Word of God, the mind of Christ, the voice of the Spirit. Logos also means the teaching of the Word of God, the message of the Word. This is consistent and faithful assembly in a sound Bible teaching church to learn and metabolize the Word of God. And the Corinthians are doing that. Today, it's almost impossible. Believers today are losers in that regard. They're here today, gone tomorrow. Here today, gone tomorrow. Gone the next day, and the next day, and the next week, and the next month. And then here once, and then gone three, and here one, and gone five or six. Nobody, Christians today, have no self-discipline. No self-discipline to be consistent and faithful day after day in the Word of God, growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Inconsistent as can be. But here the Corinthians are starting to get the hang of it. They are becoming consistent. Consistent and faithful in assembly in a sound Bible teaching church to learn and metabolize the Word of God. Now the third thing that they're superabounding in is gnosis. That's the Greek word for knowledge. But specifically here, gnosis is putting the spotlight on grace perspicacity. Grace perspicacity. God has set up a system whereby you take the Word of God and get it from the printed page into your heart. The target for the Word of God is not the Bible. The target for the Word of God is not your notebook. It doesn't say in the Bible, "Thy word have I hid in my notebook that I might not sin against thee." Thy word have I hid in my heart The target for the Word of God is your heart, the cardia, the right lobe of the soul. And the only way you can get there is through grace perspicacity. Grace perspicacity. And so we're putting this is what the spotlight's being put on here. They are getting the hank of grace perspicacity. So we have it here. There are four stages to grace perspicacity. This is stage one. Stage one is the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. You have to have a spiritual gift of pastor-teacher teaching the Logos, the God-breathed scriptures. You will never, ever grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You will never reach spiritual maturity. You will never glorify God if all you do is study the Bible on your own. That's impossible. You will crash and burn. It demands, first of all, stage one, a spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. And that pastor-teacher teaches the Logos, the Word of God. And he teaches it eisegetically, categorically, exegetically. That's stage one. Got to start there. And then at that point, stage two is God the Holy Spirit. That's stage two. In stage two, God the Holy Spirit takes the communication from the pastor-teacher. Now, if you're not in fellowship with God, if you're not filled with the Spirit, well, you can eliminate stage two. You will get nothing unless you're in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit. So, pastor-teacher is teaching the Word of God, the Logos, the God-breathed Scripture, eisegetically, categorically, exegetically. Then stage two, God the Holy Spirit takes that communication from the pastor-teacher and teaches your human spirit. And that when the Holy Spirit teaches your human spirit, that Logos is now pneumaticos, spiritual phenomena. Spiritual phenomena. That's stage two. Then that spiritual phenomena goes down the grace pipeline into the noose, where it becomes gnosis doctrine. All these first three stages, this is stage three. These first three stages are all the receptive comprehension stages. Stage one, stage two, stage three. Three stages for receptive comprehension. Now you have that spiritual phenomena, that pneumaticos, down here in the noose, the left lobe of the soul, where it's gnosis. Now, have you arrived? Hell no, you haven't arrived. You're nothing at that point. And if that's all the farther it goes, if we got a lot of seed pickers out there who, well, I will believe what the Pastor Olson teaches here, but I'm not going to believe what he teaches there. You're seed pickers, and seed pickers are losers, total losers. You have no humility, no respect for the authority of God, His Word, or the pastor who teaches it. If this is all the farther the Word of God gets, you are not going to honor and glorify God ever in your life, ever. Because this is all receptive comprehension. You have to get from gnosis to epinosis. And that's stage four. And the only way you can get from gnosis, stage three, to epinosis, stage four, is faith. Faith in the Word of God. Believe it! Pastor Olson, I understand what you're saying. That's stage three. Pastor Olson, I understand what you're saying. And Pastor Olson, I believe what you're saying. Over here. Now, it's in the cardia. That's the target. Here's the target for the Word of God. From this Bible, here in your cardia, in your heart. If it doesn't get here, all you are here. If this is all the farther that the Word of God goes is here, gnosis, all you are is a hearer of the Word. That's all. You're not a doer of the Word. Hearer of the Word only. A doer of the Word. What's a doer of the Word? You believe it. You believe it. And when you believe it, then it goes into the heart, cardia. Now it's epinosis. That's a doer of the Word. The one who believes the Word of God. If all it is here in the news, you're nothing but a hearer of the Word. It's like you looking in a mirror in the morning, what you look at. And it's pretty sorry what you see there. And then you go out like you haven't learned anything from it. That's a hearer of the Word. So if all you go through is stage 1, 2, and 3, all you are is a hearer of the Word. You're not a doer of the Word because you don't believe it. And it's only when you believe the Word of God that then the Holy Spirit takes it and brings it into your heart. Now it's completed knowledge. Epinosis means completed knowledge, full knowledge of the Word of God. And it's only here that you can apply the truth of God's Word to your life. If it doesn't get here, you'll never apply it to your life accurately, correctly. You'll always be doing your thing. You think you have a plan of that's better than the plan of God. You don't have a plan greater than the plan of God. God's plan is the perfect plan. So this is very important. I'm getting a little on fire for the Lord here. But it's very important that you catch a hold of this. So we have grace, perspicacity. Now, I've done a really great job of messing up this whole thing up here. See that? Can hardly read it anymore. But not to worry. I'm going to take you through this anyway. We've studied the first 4 points of stage one. Stage one of grace, perspicacity. We've studied the first 4 points. We noted, first of all, in point one, stage one, the pastor teaches the God-breathed scriptures to a group of believers. Point two, the pastor communicates the Word of God using the ICE principle. ICE, isagogically, categorically, exegetically. The I is isagogics. The interpretation of Scripture within the framework of its historical setting or prophetical environment. The Bible must be interpreted in the time in which it was written and in the original languages in which it was written. Hebrew, Aramaic, and Koine Greek. In this sense, the pastor is a detective. A detective. He must be able to go back to the ancient world and recreate the world as it was then. He must associate the words in the Bible with life at that time and how those words were used. And then C is for categorical communication of the Word of God. This is the hermeneutical principle of comparing Scripture with Scripture. You compare Scripture with Scripture and come up with the doctrine of grace, the doctrine of virtue, love, the doctrine of sin. You get that by comparing Scripture and Scripture and coming up with a category of doctrine. The pastor is to teach categorically. And the E is exegesis, the analysis of Scripture in the original languages. Each verse must be analyzed grammatically and syntactically from the original languages. Hence, the truest objective of interpretation is to determine under the ministry of God the Holy Spirit the exact thought of the human writer of Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed. That's the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. And the inspiration ministry of the Spirit, He communicated the absolute truth through having written by human authors. All Scripture is God-breathed. Point three, the true objective of Bible teaching is the accurate communication of the Word of God. Four, the pastor must be filled with the Spirit when he studies, and he must be filled with the Spirit when he teaches. The pastor must be filled with the Spirit, which means the Holy Spirit must control his soul. But he also should have prepared himself so that he can study from the original languages. That's the first four points. That's as far as we got last time. Number five. Stage one finds the faithful pastor studying the Word under the filling of the Spirit. Stage one finds the faithful pastor studying the Word under the filling of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit provides the ability for the pastor teacher with his spiritual gift to comprehend, to concentrate, to categorize, to interpret, so that he can communicate the interpretation of the God-breathed Scriptures. Stage one continues with the pastor teaching what he has learned, and he teaches to a congregation, a group of believers. Point six. Stage one is the believer's first option. This is your first option, stage one of grace perspicacity. It's the believer's first option regarding learning the Word of God. So here's the first option for all of you, right here. Starts with stage one. Starts with the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. Stage one is the believer's first option regarding learning the Word of God. The believer first must make himself available to Bible teaching by being where it is taught and hearing it. Now, you might not believe it, but you got to be there where it's taught and hear it. Seven, so in stage one, the believer listens consistently and faithfully to the communication of the Word of God from his pastor. So in stage one, the believer listens consistently and faithfully to the communication of the Word of God from his pastor. Eight, stage one requires the believer's positive volition, humility, positive volition in contrast to negative volition, humility in contrast to arrogance, and being filled with the Spirit in order to ensure concentration and academic discipline. That's stage one. All right. So there are four stages in grace perspicacity. So let's go to stage two. Stage two of grace perspicacity. One, the Holy Spirit teaches our human spirit. God the Holy Spirit teaches our human spirit. Two, in stage two, the Holy Spirit teaches the human spirit of the believer what the spiritual gift of pastor teacher has communicated by the teaching of the Word of God, eisegetically, categorically, exegetically. So in stage two, the Holy Spirit teaches the human spirit of the believer what the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher has communicated by the teaching of the Word of God, eisegetically, categorically, exegetically. Three. So in stage two, the pastor communicates the doctrine that he has learned, logos. In stage two, the pastor communicates the doctrine he has learned, the logos. Now, when the believer listens and concentrates while being filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit puts that information in his human spirit so that he understands it. And that's called pneumatika, spiritual phenomena. So logos becomes pneumatikos. The Word of God becomes spiritual phenomena. So in stage two, the pastor communicates the doctrine he has learned, the logos. Now when the believer listens and concentrates while being filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit puts that information in his human spirit so that he understands it as spiritual phenomena. Pneumatikos. Logos becomes pneumatikos. The teaching content of the sermon or Bible study can only be converted into spiritual phenomena by the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Spirit combined with the teaching ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. Four, in stage two of grace perspicacity, logos communicated by the pastor teacher is converted into pneumatikos taught by God the Holy Spirit. So in stage two, logos communicated by the pastor teacher is converted into pneumatikos taught by God the Holy Spirit. Five, this is the grace factor in receptive comprehension. Grace all the way. All the way. The fact that God has given you a man, a male, not a female. No women have the gift of pastor teacher. The fact that God the Holy Spirit gives you a man with the spiritual gift of pastor teacher is grace all the way. You don't earn or deserve that at all. And I'll be real honest. We're getting to the point in this country where there will be no pastors that are prepared to teach the Word of God. There'll be none left anymore. It's getting fewer and fewer and fewer. As I speak tonight, the number of sound doctrinal pastors are getting fewer and fewer and fewer. And at this rate, there will be none. There will be no faithful, sound doctrinal pastor teachers in this country anymore. We're getting very close to that right now. So this is the grace factor in receptive comprehension. Now, there isn't any of you as believers who deserve even to have the gift of pastor teacher who beats his brains out day after day to feed you and teach you the Word of God. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. That is grace, 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 grace. John 14:26. But the helper, the parakletos, that is God the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have communicated to you. Inevitably, it is all the Holy Spirit's ministry. Without the Holy Spirit's teaching ministry, none of us could understand the God-breathed scriptures or grow spiritually. That's why this is grace perspicacity. Turn over to John chapter 16. John 16. John 16. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John 16, 13, and 14. But when he, the Spirit of doctrine, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, the Lord Jesus Christ, for he shall take of mine and will disclose it to you. Point six. So it is God the Holy Spirit who teaches us. And without his ministry, we could never understand spiritual things. It is God the Holy Spirit who teaches us, and without his ministry, we could never understand spiritual things. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 16, the Spirit himself, God the Holy Spirit, bears witness, teaches with our spirit, our human spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches our human spirit that we are the children of God. Seven. So in stage one, the spiritual gift of pastor teacher teaches the word of God isagogically, categorically, exegetically, line upon line, precept upon precept. That's stage one. So in stage one, the spiritual gift of pastor teacher teaches the word of God isagogically, categorically, exegetically, line upon line, precept upon precept. Eight. Then in stage two, the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit takes that logos taught by the pastor teacher, and he, the Holy Spirit, teaches your human spirit, producing receptive comprehension, pneumaticos, spiritual phenomena. Then in stage two, the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit takes that logos taught by the pastor teacher, and he, the Holy Spirit, teaches your human spirit, producing receptive comprehension, grace. Everything, the pastor teacher, you having a gift of pastor teacher, teaching the word of God, you better enjoy it, because one of these days, you will go all over trying to find sound Bible teaching, and the Bible says, you will never find it. God's word says you won't find it anymore. When we have a nation in apostasy and degeneracy, there will come to the point where you will look and look and look, and there is no sound Bible teaching anymore, because the nation is in apostasy and degeneracy. So I don't know if you don't appreciate the pastor teacher, spiritual gift, teaching you the word of God. Well, then just keep on doing what you're doing. One of these days, you're going to go, where is a sound Bible teacher? They're not here anymore. I guess I should have listened a little bit more when we had them. So, that brings us to stage three of grace perspicacity. Stage three. Stage three of grace perspicacity. One, stage three completes receptive comprehension of the Word of God as taught by the spiritual gift of pastor teacher plus the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Stage three completes receptive comprehension of the Word of God as taught by the spiritual gift of pastor teacher and the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Now, the mentality of our soul is divided into two frontal lobes. We have a left lobe called the nous, or the mind, and the right lobe called the cardia, or the heart. Point two, in stage three, grace perspicacity, gnosis doctrine, knowledge, resides in the left lobe. Let me get that back up there. Resides in the left lobe of the soul, called the nous, the mind, as the final stage of receptive comprehension. This is the final stage of receptive comprehension. Stage three, gnosis doctrine in the left lobe or the mind, the nous. Three, gnosis doctrine in the nous, the mind, causes the believer to be what James calls a hearer of the Word. If that's the only place, this is all the farther the Word of God goes, is here. Gnosis in your mind. All you are here is a hearer of the Word. You're not a doer of the Word. And how do you go from being a hearer of the Word to a doer of the Word? Faith. Believe the Word of God. Believe it. When you believe it, then you will be a doer of the Word. When you reject it, if this is all the farther it goes, all you are is a hearer of the Word, but not a doer of the Word. Turn over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Let's start at verse 22. A warning. A warning to all of us as royal family of God. Do not merely listen to the Word. What's that? That's being a hearer. That's being a hearer of the Word. Do not merely be a hearer of the Word. And what happens when that characterizes you? You deceive yourself. Instead, he says, do what it says. So there's two things, being a hearer of the Word, being a doer of the Word. What separates the two? Faith. You have to believe the Word of God. You will not do it if you don't believe it. You don't believe it, you will not do it. All you'll be is a hearer of the Word, but not a doer of the Word. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it because of faith in the Word of God, he will be blessed and blessed and blessed, greater grace blessing because of living the spiritual life. So gnosis doctrine in the nous, the mind, causes the believer to be what James calls a hearer of the Word, but not a doer of the Word, if that's all the farther the Word of God goes. Only when gnosis is converted over to the cardia, the heart, as epignosis doctrine, completed knowledge, full knowledge, does the believer become a doer of the Word. And this conversion from gnosis in the mind to epinosis in the cardia, the heart, takes place when the believer believes the doctrine. Faith. Pastor Olson, I understand what you're saying. And Pastor Olson, I believe what you're teaching. Yes, sir. And if any of you, by the way, are in here and you don't believe what's being taught from here, get your ass out and stay out. I'm not here to waste my time with people that are hearers of the word but not doers of the word. I'm just getting started, too. Principle: no one can effectively serve God apart from epinosis doctrine in his heart. The target of the Word of God is your cardia, the heart. That's the target. And it only gets there by you believing the word, believing it. No one can effectively serve God apart from epinosis doctrine in his heart. 4. Stage 3, gnosis doctrine in the nous, the mind, is a staging area. Stage 3, gnosis doctrine in the nous, the mind, that is the staging area. Now, there's no spiritual momentum in stage 3. The nous or the mind is designed to comprehend doctrine under receptive comprehension called gnosis, knowledge. Nothing is attained from gnosis alone. It simply acts as a staging area, a means to an end, to be converted by positive volition, faith. Faith in that word, then it becomes completed knowledge, full knowledge, epinosis doctrine in the cardia, the heart. 5, receptive comprehension includes the first 3 stages of grace perspicacity. Receptive comprehension includes the first 3 stages of grace perspicacity. In stage 1, Bible doctrine is taught by the spiritual gift of pastor teacher. In stage 2, the Holy Spirit teaches the human spirit so that the Logos doctrine becomes pneumaticos, spiritual phenomena. In stage 3, the spiritual phenomena goes down that pipeline into the nous or the mind and becomes gnosis doctrine. 6, gnosis terminates receptive comprehension. Gnosis terminates receptive comprehension. 7, receptive comprehension merely means you understand what is being taught. It is still a part of grace perspicacity, but it does not cause you to grow up spiritually. Gnosis doctrine in the nous of the mind. It's a part of grace perspicacity, but it does not cause spiritual growth. 8, it is at stage 3 that now you face a very, very important decision. Will you believe or reject the absolute truth of the Word of God that has been taught to you and that you now understand as gnosis doctrine? It's at stage 3. That you face a very important decision. Will you believe or will you reject the doctrine that you now understand as gnosis doctrine? 9. If your negative volition rejects the understood doctrine, It remains gnosis doctrine. You are only a hearer of the word. If your negative volition rejects the understood doctrine, it remains gnosis doctrine, and you are only a hearer of the word. 10. If your positive volition believes and accepts the understood doctrine, the Holy Spirit carries it into the cardia, the heart, where now it becomes epignosis doctrine, completed knowledge, full knowledge, and contributes to your spiritual growth. If your positive volition believes and accepts the understood doctrine, then the Holy Spirit carries it into the cardia, the heart, where it becomes epignosis doctrine and contributes to your spiritual growth. All right. That's stage 3. Now stage 4. Stage four, this is the whole target of grace perspicacity. Stage 4. The target for the Word of God is to get it here in your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. It's got to get to your heart. Not your pump. Heart's up here. And believe me, there are a lot of fundies that don't understand anything about the heart in the Word of God. I was called in at Dallas Seminary. I was called in, brought in, and a fellow started interrogating me. First of all, we're very concerned about you, Mr. Olson. We're very concerned about you. You're here at Dallas Seminary and you're not married. I said, well, that's because I'm a homosexual. No, I didn't say that, but that's what he was thinking, so I just, you know. And I looked at him, I said, well, I'm not married because I'm waiting for God to bring the right woman at the right time. And he just hasn't brought the right woman at the right time. But when he does, not to worry, I'm going to get married. I don't have the gift of celibacy, I know that. So God will bring the right woman at the right time. And by the way, God brought the right woman at the right time. And I can't tell you, the longer that Deb and I have been married, our marriage gets better and better and better and better. And I have been so graced out to have a wife like Deb with positive volition. Deb is here every night. She's here every night. Even after having 2 serious heart attacks, anybody else would have been dead in heaven. But God had a grace plan. She survived those very serious heart attacks. What does she do? She's right in here, night after night, teaching. She's back there teaching the little people now. She's a part of the team. A local church is to be a team. A team. Working together as a team with all the different spiritual gifts. Deb is a part of that team. And here she is, back there teaching the little people. And she's the head of Bib Ed for Upland Bible Church. She heads Bib Ed. She does so many things as a part of the team here. She's absolutely fantastic. I have the most wonderful lady as my wife, and she is a helper corresponding to me. Oh, I don't know how I even got done that, but yeah, anyway. See, when Deb is here, she gives me signals.
You were talking about.
So stage four, this is the stage of faith perception, also classified as the metabolization of Bible doctrine. The target of the Word of God is your heart. Two, stage four converts gnosis doctrine into epinosis doctrine, and this is the function of retention. Retention. So point three, there are three R's in grace perspicacity. Three R's. Reception, that's stages one, two, and three. Reception. There is retention, that's stage four. There is recall, that is the skillful and accurate application of epinosis doctrine to your life. So three R's of grace perspicacity, reception, stages one, two, and three, retention, stage four, recall, skillful and accurate application of epinosis doctrine to your life. Four, this conversion from gnosis into epinosis occurs under the principle of positive volition, faith perception. Faith perception. You believe it. You believe God's word. It's you saying, Pastor Olson, I understand what you're teaching. And Pastor Olson, I believe what you are teaching. Five, only epinosis doctrine in the heart causes spiritual momentum and spiritual growth. No epinosis doctrine in the heart, no spiritual momentum, and no spiritual growth. Only epinosis doctrine in the heart causes spiritual momentum and spiritual growth. Sixth, the metabolization of Bible doctrine is the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in converting gnosis doctrine in the mind into epinosis doctrine in the heart. The metabolization of Bible doctrine is the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in converting gnosis doctrine in the mind into epinosis doctrine in the heart. Apart from the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, we would all be in the dark. And that means that human IQ is no issue. The only issue is spiritual IQ. And that is the filling of the Spirit combined with the teaching ministry of the Spirit. Grace perspicacity. Getting the Word of God from the printed page into your cardia, the heart. Seven, the mechanics related to the omnipotence of the Holy Spirit are twofold. The mechanics related to the omnipotence of the Holy Spirit are twofold. One, the Holy Spirit makes the Logos, taught by the pastor teacher, understandable in the human spirit. That's pneumatikos. So the Holy Spirit takes the Logos taught by the pastor and makes it pneumatikos in the human spirit, spiritual phenomena. That's first. And second, the Holy Spirit makes the doctrine understandable, converting in our nous, our mind, converting gnosis doctrine into epinosis doctrine at the point of faith perception. And the Holy Spirit makes doctrine understandable that is in our nous, our mind, converting gnosis doctrine into epignosis doctrine at the point of faith perception. The pastor is involved in the reception stage, but the pastor has no part in the retention stage. Eight, the advance to spiritual maturity is related to metabolized doctrine, epignosis doctrine in the heart only. The advance to spiritual maturity is related to epignosis doctrine in the heart only. Nine, invisible heroes. And boy, we need invisible heroes in America today. Invisible heroes are manufactured out of epignosis doctrine in the heart. Wisdom. In the Greek, Sophia. In the Hebrew, Chokma. And we need invisible heroes in America today. And they're manufactured one way, having believers having epignosis doctrine in their heart. When you have epignosis doctrine in your heart, you have wisdom. 10. Wisdom is the skillful and accurate application of epignosis doctrine in the heart. Wisdom is the skillful and accurate application of epignosis doctrine in the heart to the situations and the circumstances in your life by the power of God the Holy Spirit. 10. Wisdom is the skillful and accurate application of epignosis doctrine in the heart to the situations and the circumstances in your life by the power of God the Holy Spirit. 11. Glorification of God depends on epignosis doctrine in your heart, wisdom in your heart. Glorification of God depends on epignosis doctrine in your heart. If all you are is a hearer of the word, you will never glorify God. One of the greatest grace gifts that was given to us in the church age, grace perspicacity. One of the greatest grace gifts that our God has given to us, royal family of God, is grace perspicacity. This is the only way we can grow up spiritually and fulfill the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18 and fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for our lives. Through the universal priesthood of the church age believer, you're a royal priest, and you utilize that royal priesthood. You must learn under your royal priesthood. You must learn and believe the word of God so you can solve your own problems, as you were so designed to do. You see, you can't have bare cupboards in your heart. Too many Christians today have bare cupboards in their heart. Apart from grace perspicacity and faith perception, you have no inventory of Bible doctrine to solve your own problems. You must have an inventory of the absolute truth of the Word of God in your heart to meet every exigency of life. So, there is grace perspicacity, all four stages. I didn't think I'd get through tonight. We still haven't finished verse 7, by the way. Now then, just as you are superabounding in every respect or way, five spiritual things. Number one, in faith. Number two, the Word of God, Logos. Number three, and knowledge, grace, perspicacity. But there's two more things that they are superabounding in. And we will look at number four next Wednesday with our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.